Hello. You the new butler?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been the new anything.
What's happened to Hudson?
I guess he's changing.
Yeah, he does that a lot, doesn't he? Oh, I'm David Bowie. I live down the road.
Oh.
Sir Percival lets me use his piano when he's not around. He's not around, is he?
I can honestly say I haven't seen him, but come on in.
Come in. Come on in. Are you related to Sir Percival?
Well, distantly, yeah.
Oh, you're not the poor relation from America, right?
Gee, news sure travels fast, doesn't it? I'm Bing.
Oh, I'm pleased to meet you. You're the one that sings, right?
Well, right or wrong, I sing either way.
Oh, well, I sing too.
Oh, good. What kind of singing?
Well, mostly the contemporary stuff. Do you like modern music?
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine. But tell me, you ever listen to any of the older fellas?
Oh, yeah, sure. I like John Lennon and the other one with Harry Nilsson.
Ooh, you go back that far, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm not as young as I look.
None of us is these days.
In fact, I've got a six-year-old son, and he really gets excited around the Christmas holiday mm-hmm. thing.
Do you go in for any of the traditional things in the boy household Christmas time?
Oh, yeah, most of them, really. Presents, tree, decorations, agents sliding down the chimney.
What?
I was just seeing if you're paying attention. Actually, our family do most of the things that other families do. We sing the same songs.
Do you?
I even have a go at White Christmas.
You too, huh?
And this one. This is my son's favorite. Do you know this one?
Oh, I do indeed. It's a lovely thing.
Hello and Merry Christmas and welcome to the Sound of Football Advent Calendar for 2016.
Yay!
Wow.
Yay!
Yes, I'm here, Graham Sibley, or Father Christmas, if you want.
You are starting to look more like him every year, actually.
We're in my grotto.
Again.
Again.
Despite the unpleasantness from this time last year.
And my elves, Terry Fellon and Jan Bilton, are there with their pointed hats, curly shoes, and
I can't believe you made us dress like this.
Too tight tights. Well, it's another whole year has gone past.
Another year has
gone past,
and we're still here.
Yes. Oh, it's been a long year, though, isn't it?
It has been a long year.
Yeah. We've done. This is our 44th podcast of this year.
Boom.
44.
Yeah.
Do you know that 44 follows me everywhere?
Does it?
Yeah.
Is that your number 23, is it?
Yeah. Wow. Follows me everywhere. Weird. We're going to end this year on 44, obviously. Well, it's always going to happen to me.
We've got Oakley's Best Of, which will make it 45.
Yes.
And we'd have to count that, because given the huge amount of time he's putting it together, don't say, oh no, that doesn't count. That would be a bit unkind.
Actually, what we could do is we'll probably split that into two, considering he's got 44 episodes to pick from as well.
Yeah, poor sod. We had 32 last year.
Yeah.
And we made a conscious effort to that was too little.
Yes.
Way too little. And so we thought we need to improve upon that. And we did, by George, quite significantly. More than I had thought that we might, but we did. Our highest is actually 52 in 2010.
Yeah, that was actually 45 podcasts in that. That was 52 blog posts in that.
Oh, right.
That was only 45 actual
so
recordings.
Only, okay.
Of course, listeners of old will know what the advent calendar is all about. 24 doors, 24 things or people behind it of, you know, people who are in the news now and who will be in the news in 2017. It's going to be a big year, isn't it? Are you going into 2017 full of positivity?
No. No, but I think it's going to be a big year.
Okay.
Possibly not for very good reasons.
Do you think we'll actually last out the whole year?
It depends whether you've got you can tolerate large amounts of radiation.
Well, I think we're going to be safe in our grotto, maybe to actually
we're laughing,
be here.
But it's a laughter of horror.
So you know what? I think I'm going to wheel in the advent calendar for you. And Jan, I think as you've got the most positive outlook for 2017 out of the three of us, I think you can go along and you can open up the first door.
It's 2016.
Terry, 2016, people have been a bit disappointed with it. I think that's really the simplest way to say
it. Yeah, well, I tell you, 2016 has let itself down.
Yes.
It'll be disappointed in itself, in fairness, 2016.
True. True. Yeah.
And I suppose the question is, what legacy will 2016 leave in 2017?
Yeah, do you think it'll hang around like a bad smell? You know, do you think like every time a celebrity dies, everyone's like, oh man, 2016, you know, it's still carrying on, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's just going to keep on rolling this year.
The spirit of 2016 lives in all of us.
People are going to be like having hashtag checks calendar or something like that. I think we should put it behind us, you know, get on with it. You know, it's done. It's happened.
It has. It has.
Get with the program now. I think that's what people say, don't they?
They do.
I think they say either get with the program or they say drops mic. I don't know. I get confused.
Yeah. You're not dropping my mics. That cost me 20 quid.
Hmm.
For the pair.
And they're attached to that whiskey stand as well, so you have to drop the entire stand.
Yeah. Oh, mind you, I might get new ones for Christmas. That might be nice. Let's see what's behind door number two.
Oh, it's Leicester City.
Leicester City, well,
they had a good 2016.
They had a great 2016. If people turn up to them in Leicester and say, 2016's been shit, and they'll say, what?
What are you saying?
Yeah.
Are you mad?
Yeah. All right, it hasn't been so great in the last few months, but hey, come on, Champions League. Yeah.
Well, could they win the Champions League?
Yes.
Well, they could. They're in a position. They've got much more chance of winning the Champions League than, say, United have.
Should I tell people my ludicrous theory about Leicester City?
Go on, then.
We love a ludicrous theory.
And there is no better time than Christmas for a ludicrous theory.
Let's imagine that the UEFA Champions League draw is rigged. Let us further imagine that Leicester City are not a popular part of the UEFA Champions League, very unpopular with the sponsors.
Yes.
And let us imagine that in order to punish Leicester for the temerity of qualifying for the Champions League, they stuck them in with a really easy, unglamorous group. Thinking, this is Leicester, they'll be rubbish, they'll get knocked out. But they didn't get knocked out. They qualified first. So let's imagine that the UEFA Champions League second round draw is also rigged. Obviously it's not.
Obviously not.
But let's imagine that it is.
Yeah.
So who would you pick if you were looking to get rid of Leicester while at the same time robbing them of an unglamorous tie? Sevilla.
That's unglamorous.
Serie A Europa League winners. It doesn't get more unglamorous than Serie A Europa League winners Sevilla. And that's why Arsenal and Bayern keep drawing each other, is because... Well, that's not why Arsenal and Bayern keep drawing each other. But if it's possible, if it was rigged, then that would be why.
That's brilliant.
So let's just take that further. They keep giving them soft draws and they keep winning. Well, that Sevilla is not a soft draw, but you know what I mean.
Softer.
Yeah.
They keep giving them unglamorous draws because they keep thinking we can't have these folks in here stinking up our league with their small support base and their lack of global brand.
Yes.
And it ends up with them going to the final and winning it. So Leicester win the title last year. Nobody thinks they can do it. Even up to 5 minutes before they actually do, there were probably people going, no, this is not happening. And then
that was us.
And it's going to happen again in with the Champions League. And Leicester will win the Champions League in 2017. Maybe. Probably not.
Blimey. Wow. That's brilliant.
That was brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm going to open another door. Oh, it's RB Leipzig. Well, talk about unglamorous teams.
They've got a great badge.
They've got great branding, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now there's a club that's got the branding to suit the Champions
League. Now this is a side that's just come up into the top flight, and they're doing really well for themselves. They're like top of the table, joint top with Bayern. Yeah. You know, Bayern, they're always there, aren't they? They're evil, aren't they? Aren't they? Aren't they supposedly?
Maybe not as evil as RB Leipzig are.
Oh, see, now I'm confused. I thought we were meant to big up the underdogs. They are underdogs, aren't they?
They are, but they are and they aren't, because they happen to be owned by a very wealthy fizzy coffee manufacturer.
Yeah. That, obviously, only 49% of it's owned by that, isn't it?
Obviously,
well,
yeah.
Because that's how German football works, isn't it?
And unless in some notable cases that is how German football works.
Yes. Unless, of course, you make membership of your club prohibitively expensive.
Yep.
Or... has substantially discounted if you're a senior employee of Red Bull.
Indeed, yes, which is what's happened.
Kind of makes a mockery of that 50+1 thing, doesn't it?
It completely makes a mockery of it. I'll go further and say it effectively ends 50+1.
This is bad news, isn't it?
Maybe not in 2017, but I predict that at some point a club in Germany, an existing club, will go, you know what? We're going to have a restructure and we're going to do exactly what Leipzig have done. We're going to get a big company to come in and they're going to buy us and we're going to change our ownership rules. And again, we'll have what a handful of senior employees of company X who will be basically bankrolling our club.
Mm.
And effectively, and they can do it because that's the rules. They can do that.
Yeah. How much of Wolfsburg does VW own?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. Wolfsburg and Bayer Leverkusen have a strong relationship with their respective communities and their mm-hmm. cities. And so the ownership model there is allowed by historic, by precedent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fact that they have pretty much always been involved, mm-hmm. certainly in any reasonable amount of memory, mm-hmm. have been involved in those clubs.
It actually predates the actual the 50 plus one.
I would have to say yes.
Yeah.
Certainly with Wolfsburg's case, I'm not quite certain about Leverkusen. The corporate headquarters for the Bayer Corporation is in Leverkusen.
Yeah.
Corporate headquarters for Volkswagen is in Wolfsburg.
Yes.
The corporate headquarters for Red Bull is in Salzburg, not in Leipzig. So it's a different thing. And Wolfsburg and Leverkusen haven't broken any rules, circumvented the rules in the way that Leipzig have.
Mm-hmm.
And by allowing Leipzig to do this, the DFB have essentially greenlit mm-hmm. a similar situation happening with another club. And I wouldn't be surprised. People might think that it's a club like Hanover or Nuremberg or Kaiserslautern, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was one of the really big ones, Hamburg or maybe even Dortmund one day.
Mm.
Dortmund are not averse to selling shares. Dortmund are not averse to doing anything corporate.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in the future, maybe not in 2017, that one of these clubs readjusted their model.
Mm.
Dortmund might just get fed up of selling all their best players to bigger clubs and think, you know what, we're going to give ourselves a bit of a shimmy up. And if it's good enough for RB Leipzig, it's good enough for Borussia Dortmund.
And I would imagine that if there was a big foreign power out there with a lot of money sloshing around looking to invest, the Bundesliga would be somewhere that would be attractive.
Easy pickings.
Mm.
I don't know who you could be thinking of, by the way.
Mm.
Let's open another door.
It's Gareth Southgate.
England manager, Gareth Southgate.
England manager.
What sort of year is he going to have? He's going to have a good one, isn't he? He's got his job now, you know, he's there, he's permanent.
He is.
He's not like the last bloke, is he?
He's anything. Well, I hope not.
Or the bloke before him as well.
Yeah, well, let's hope he's not. But he's got a whole bunch of qualifiers coming up, and they're not against any really difficult opposition.
That's big talk, isn't it?
It is big. Well, apart from Scotland, of course. But, you know, England always do really well in qualifiers, so I think he'll have a pretty good.
We haven't lost in years.
Yeah.
In a qualifier, so we should be coasting through these, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I think he'll be fine on those fronts. He's got a couple of friendlies against Germany and France, but you know, I don't think there's much pressure on him this year. I think he'll be fine, unless of course he's got a skeleton in the closet.
Well, you never know. They've always got those things. Yeah, Scotland haven't had a good start in that group. They're second from bottom, aren't they, at the moment? But
yes, they have. But there's mitigating circumstances, aren't there?
That score against England wasn't particularly just, was it, really?
Not entirely.
Probably didn't really deserve to lose that game 3-0, did
they? No, it's too problem. I mean, I was puzzled as to why they didn't pick Oliver Burke.
Yeah.
I'm being Bundesliga bias. But that guy is really good. And I'm really surprised that he didn't even come off the bench. That did surprise me. And I don't think that's just Bundesliga bias on my part, although I'm willing to accept it might be.
Yeah. They did feel a sort of like an almost testimonial feel about that Scotland team, though, when they played England. I think they were giving people like their moment in the sun of playing against the old enemy.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think so. It gives them a good opportunity now, I think, to get younger blood in that side, I think.
Well, if that's the case, then that's rubbish because, you know, there was 3 points up for grabs. It's an important game.
Yeah.
I don't know whether or not they've got the right coach.
Ooh. I'm going to open up another door. Door number 5. Oh, look, it's Wales. Well, they've had a good year. They're another team, aren't they, that had a really good 2016.
Yes.
They could be really pleased with it.
Wales and Leicester, they don't know what on earth people are wood-banging about.
No, exactly. I mean, like, Wales, I mean, like, you know, they win an election, don't they? Obviously, isn't very good for them, but, you know, they win it, but nonetheless, and we should all respect that. And then they go and get to... Wow,
semi-final of the European Championship.
Semi-finals. I mean, like, England could only dream about semi-finals.
It was real fairy tale stuff for those guys.
Yeah.
And they massively deserved it. Great side, great spirit,
yeah.
Great manager.
So are they going to carry that on in 2017, do you reckon?
I think so. I think there's no reason why they can't keep that run going. It's just about the mentality that they have. And also they've got one of the best players in the world.
Yes.
Leading their attack. So, yeah.
Yeah, because they're in the Republic's group, and Republic are actually leading that group at the moment, four games in. So,
it's an open group.
Open
it's
group.
Fair to say.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Big question mark about whether or not their manager stays.
Mm. Do you think?
If there's a vacancy in a club, maybe a Premier League club, it's not out of the question that he might be tempted away.
Yeah. Mm. Premier League? Do you reckon?
If a specific Premier League club were to sack their manager, then he would be a candidate to replace him.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Palace. If Pardew goes, then former Palace player Chris Coleman may be on the shortlist.
Yeah. Would be a mistake for him.
I believe it would be.
Should never go back.
But,
not because it's Palace.
These guys are always making mistakes of this nature. So, and also, you know, there's a mistake with very little risk when you consider how much money comes with the job.
Mm. Mm. Northern Ireland had a great championship as well, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
They were brilliant.
Yeah.
Arguably, actually, pound for pound, they had the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
With the players that they have.
Mm.
Yeah, and they're not doing so bad themselves in their World Cup qualification at the moment, so they're going to have a big year. They're in Germany's group, and obviously Germany are running away with it. But do we think Northern Ireland can put it together and get actually a World Cup place? Can they go to Russia?
Well, they qualified fair and square for Euro 2016, so they should be as optimistic for 2018.
Yeah, agreed.
It's the expanded World Cup.
Wow.
Is that the World Cup that's had too many mince pies?
That is, yes, very much. That is. It is the supersized World Cup. Could have 48 teams in it.
48. That's 48, like a quarter of the world's countries.
Yeah, well, I think, like, you know, about 40 years ago, that was all of them.
Yes. And in about 40 months, it will be all of them again.
It's getting ridiculous. Old former bald UEFA guy, now bald FIFA guy.
Yeah.
This is what he got in on.
This is his harebrained scheme.
Yeah, this was his ticket. This is his ticket to get in.
I've got this great idea.
Yeah.
48 team.
World Cup.
Guys, he said, 48 teams.
Yeah.
And they went,
do you know?
You.
Yeah.
Him. That guy. They went.
And to accommodate this, they're actually planning on having three hosts for it. Mexico, Canada, and the United States are putting in a joint bid for hosting the
2026,
right.
Yeah. That's a big area. Is that a permanent thing, or is it just a one-off? So would it always be 48 or 40 teams or whatever?
I presume it's going to be, that's going to be the new model.
So it'll be an American World Cup.
12 groups.
Wow, that's a lot of ground to cover, isn't it? The thing is,
here's
the thing, it depends entirely upon how you feel about the World Cup.
Yeah.
If the World Cup is supposed to be a crucible of the best players, best teams in the world, then a 48-team World Cup will leave you disappointed.
Yes.
If, however, it's supposed to be a festival with as many, many parts of the world joining in, then this is a good thing.
Yeah.
If you want to make it a festival and reduce the number of participating teams to make it manageable, which I imagine a lot of people would probably be quite comfortable with, then it's easy. You just reduce the number of UEFA teams. Because they have a disproportionate number in the World Cup.
Yeah, but that's because we have a disproportionate large number of teams in our conference, don't we?
That's true. But
compared to South America.
But none of which takes away from the fact that we send loads of teams to the World Cup.
We do.
If we send less, there'd be more teams to spread around in Asia, Africa, Oceania, CONCACAF. But
problem is,
we don't.
The McDonald's aren't going to like that.
McDonald's are not going to like that. Mm. No, that's true.
And other general sponsors also won't like that.
Yes. No, absolutely. They won't
but
like that.
But particularly McDonald's.
But I do think that it's something that you need to consider if you do want to.
Yeah.
You know, that's the dilemma. That's the conflict in the World Cup.
Well, we're going to find out soon enough if they're going to go ahead with it, because it's one of the early decisions in 2017. That's due on the 9th of January. So, hey, you know, this will be the first one that we'll probably be talking about in the new year, won't it?
Yes, it will.
Mm. I'll open up another door.
It's video technology.
Yeah.
Evil.
Video refs. Video refs. Yeah, they've been used in the World Club Cup, which is just finished, just yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't see any of it, did you?
No.
Well, it's not on domestic TV in the UK, so.
Fine. So there you go. That's how much we care about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so apparently there was a penalty given.
Mm-hmm.
Antlers got one against Atletico.
Yes.
And the referee went off and had a look at it and said, yeah, that's a penalty.
Really? Mm-hmm. So he actually...
Yeah, he had a little booth around totally the side. Yeah. Side.
Oh, so he went to look at it. It's not like with rugby where he's got another one.
No. He had a little TV.
Got a video assistant referee up in the gods.
Right.
Who sees something and goes, oi, mate, I think you might have missed something. So referee blows up at an appropriate moment in play, goes over, looks at the video screen and says, yeah, I agree, I missed that. Or goes, nah, mate. And then carries on.
Mm. Right. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think those are the only things he's getting in his ear, though. Because in the final, Sergio Ramos, as he does, he was going in with his studs up a couple of times and got booked early doors.
Yeah.
Went in for another ill-timed lunge
late
in the second half. And the referee comes over. He's going over to his breast pocket.
He was.
Dipping down. Just about to pull out a card, then suddenly has a change of heart and takes his hand away from his pocket because he suddenly realised that Sergio's on a yellow card.
Yes.
And another one obviously would get him sent off.
Hmm. He could have arrived at that decision himself, though. He could have realised that that was the case without anybody whispering in his ear.
Yeah, he could have done.
And those referees have been mic'd up for years. There's always been suggested that Zidane's sending off.
Yes.
Was on the basis of someone whispering in the referee's ear.
Yeah.
Because and in fact, it was video evidence that actually got Zidane sent.
Yeah.
So that doesn't necessarily. Don't get me wrong, Graham. I'm all aboard. You know, disrespecting the VAR. But I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that this is a VAR thing.
It doesn't take away controversy, though, does it? Though.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Oh, it is. We've just got a new brand of controversy now that we can put on.
This is one of the things that we said that we don't like. One of the many reasons we don't like video technology is the additional boring narratives that it adds and the extra arguments. He should have called for that decision. He shouldn't have called for that decision, and so on and so forth. But anyway, we've lost this argument. So we may as well just move on.
We have to move on, put it behind us.
What we do need, however...
How 2016.
It's not... I don't want to be a video assistant Ramona. But what we do need to do is we probably do need to have as much transparency about the VAR system as possible. So, I mean, we should be listening to those conversations between the VAR and the referee.
Can you do live. That?
I don't see why you can't. They do it in all the other sports when they have video refereeing, so yes. I'm sure they can do that in football. And I think that is what should happen, since we're going to have this thing.
Mm. Mm.
It's the Confederation Cup.
Oh, Confederation Cup. Yeah, that's a bit interesting, is it? Or not? As a tournament?
Yes.
It's a global tournament, isn't it?
It is indeed a global
It will be in Russia as well, won't it?
It will be in Russia.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm. Now, the head of the German FA, Reinhard Grindel, thinks that FIFA should get rid of it.
I wonder what's motivating him to say something like that.
Well, apparently FIFA aren't actually paying them to take all their team and their entourage along with them. So James, you have to stump up the rest of the cash to go out there.
Surprise, yeah. But am I right in thinking that they're not planning on sending a full-strength team?
No, they're not. Yogi Löw has said he wants to give his players the summer off.
Yeah.
And so he's not going to be taking what he would think be the people who he's going to build his team around for the 2018 World Cup.
He's thinking maybe another Euro fly 2020.
Yeah, exactly. But another fly in the ointment is it's gone at the same time as the under-21 tournament in Poland.
Oh, right.
And Germany are taking the strongest under-21 team they can do.
That's an important tournament.
Yeah. So they'll be using that more likely to be a testing ground for their younger players.
You should send a team of second division players.
So, yeah, so I think this is what you're going to get a German B team going out to...
Yeah, that would be quite cool.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be lots and lots of very, very, very good players in that as well. But
yeah, they do go some way down.
If everyone else sends their strongest team, though, I suppose it'll still be good experience for the younger fellows, wouldn't it? So
it's a tournament that's taken seriously in some parts of the world and not others.
Yeah,
tends not to be taken too seriously in UEFA, much like the Club World Cup, which is taken very seriously in some parts of the world and not others.
Both of which that bald FIFA guy wants to continue to push.
Mm.
The thing about the Confederations Cup is that logistically putting on a World Cup is extremely hard, and it makes sense to have a shakedown tournament a year before. It does. I can see the wisdom in the Confederations Cup. to give the facilities a shakedown.
Yes. Mm. It's just to check the volume of those vuvuzelas.
Exactly.
2009.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we all we would never have had that obnoxious noise the way it was in 2010 if it wasn't for the Confed Cup in 2009. And the rest of us wouldn't have been ready for them when they came along. But I guess, you know, you might have to think about the format of it and whether or not it comes up in that form. But an alternative format doesn't, I can't think of one.
Yeah. Jan, what horrors of a Russian tournament aren't going to come to fruition? Are we going to have Adam Curtis documentaries about this Confederation Cup?
Well, I was going to say it's too big a deal for Russia to go meddling in politically. But there's a lot of big deals that allegedly that they've been meddling in.
Yeah, let's not think about it, eh?
No.
Let's go on to the next one. TV deals. Well, we're going to have this coming up soon because the Champions League, it only sounds like 5 minutes ago that the last Champions League deal was struck, but just started.
I think it was only 5 minutes ago.
And now it's coming up again. And so whether or not BT have the full exclusive rights again or how much money they're going to put in, I don't know. What do you think?
It's been a mixed bag for BT because they spent nearly £900 million for access to all European content. Obviously the biggest part of that is the Champions League. And they saw the revenues go up, but actually because of the massive amount of money it cost them, their costs went up to a greater extent. So they're actually starting to, it's costing them money.
Yeah.
And the fact is that they haven't been really getting the viewer figures that they were expecting. I think they do a fine job of staging it and broadcasting it, but it's... I don't know whether there's a shifting landscape in TV and sport, which I'm sure we'll come across.
Bottom
later.
Line though is that they need bums on seats, don't they? Really, or eyeballs, don't they, to see it? Otherwise, they're paying a lot for something that isn't basically not a very good product.
Yeah, well, they're hoping to fund that with subscriptions and obviously advertising as well. And if they're not getting the viewing figures, then the advertisers. Well, they're losing out revenue straight away because people aren't watching it, and obviously the advertisers aren't going to be drawn to it. So it's a difficult one for them.
It's been rumoured that UEFA are deeply unhappy about the situation. There is no confirmation of that at all.
No.
But I suppose we're going to have to wait until the bids are through before we actually find out whether or not this is actually the case or not. Do you think Sky will go back in after they basically poo-pooed it after... BT got the deal, didn't they?
They might have poo-pooed it deliberately in a kind of, well, you know...
Didn't
want your stupid Champions League anyway. And they might take a different view when it comes up there. I think UEFA will be relying on them putting a bid in order to keep interest keen. Mm. I don't really know whether or not they're interested in more Champions League. I think they might be because, in a different sporting note, BT have got the Ashes. Which is a big surprise. That's a big loss for Sky. It's a big loss for Sky. So it might well be that they'll want to strike back by taking some content off them.
But the Ashes is in Australia this time, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
So it's not going to get a lot of people watching that either, is it, really? And it's Gary Lineker, celebrity crisp salesman and antagonist of the right.
Yes.
As he is now.
Yes. How would you describe, or how do you think people will be describing him in 2017 then, yeah?
I think that some people will continue to describe him as a lefty lovey living in his metropolitan bubble.
It's Liverpool FC.
Right, they're being carried along by the media, aren't they? They aren't that good. They're not going to win, are they?
No, they don't win. But that's only because Chelsea are just so super awesome. They're going to win.
Yeah.
But if Chelsea weren't super awesome, then Liverpool might be in with a chance.
Yeah. I think they're doing very well.
Oh, it's Pep Guardiola. He's very good, isn't he?
Well, he is.
He's brilliant.
He is brilliant.
Yeah.
But he's taking time to adjust to the Premier League.
The Premier League is taking time to adjust to him.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But he did go to Barcelona and Bayern. He went there and they were established teams already. And Manchester City are there or thereabouts. And he's just trying to find his way.
Yeah, so, he got the best out of two great teams.
Yes.
And now he's trying to get the best out of one not-so-great team.
Yes.
It'll take a little bit longer.
Yeah, of course it will. It's the Mags, Newcastle United.
Oh, I bet you're glad you opened that one, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I had to get that one, didn't I?
Yeah, well, they're all right now. They're down in the Championship now, aren't they?
They're doing all right in the
physical... They probably won't stay there, will they?
No, they're going to get promoted. But it's the Fizzy Pop League, isn't it? It's you know, it's easy. It's what I keep telling my Newcastle supporting friends every time they put some kind of post on social media with black and white circles. Yeah. And I just go back with, it's easy in the Fizzy Pop League, though, isn't it?
Well, obviously, I mean, like, Sunderland showed how easy it was many, many times, didn't they?
Yeah, we have, yeah.
On the numerous occasions that they've been down there as well. Yeah.
Not for 10 years, though.
No.
Wow.
Amazing.
Not for 10 years.
Yeah. And you're going to escape again as well, aren't you, this year?
No.
Do you think so, Terry, do you think the two teams are going to swap as they...
I think it's a distinct possibility, yeah, absolutely. Well, there's no question that Sunderland, the Newcastle are going up. Sunderland is more of a question.
Yeah.
Terry, open up door 14.
Bob Bradley. Bob Bradley is actually, I don't think Bob Bradley is doing as bad as all that.
Yeah?
I think that he's got him going okay, but it's just, he's turning it. I read some interesting analysis on Twitter, so this is my opinion.
Yeah.
That and it was all, you know, expected goals and set piece defending and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And this guy put together a fairly decent argument that actually the opportunities and the chances that Bob Bradley at Swansea have created under Bob Bradley has risen significantly by comparison to his predecessors, but they're not putting their chances away. And he suggested actually there's systemic issues that go back all the way back to Michael Laudrup's time there.
Yeah.
That's the problem, and that actually blaming Bob Bradley is a superficial way of looking at things. And I'm comfortable with that, because I think that a lot of the reason why there's a lot of people don't think Bob Bradley is doing a good job is because he's American. And a lot of people over here don't like Americans, and they don't like the fact that they can come over here and manage our football teams. Mm. So even Welsh ones.
It's the second city. Birmingham.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Sunderland.
That's only been a city for about like 10 years, isn't
it? It's more than 10 years.
I thought it was going to say Croydon.
99, was it?
No, it was well
92.
92, was it? I know it beat Croydon anyway.
It beat Croydon.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. I don't know. Really? Were they up against Croydon?
They were. Yeah. Croydon always go out for these things.
They never get it.
They always lose.
The second city. Well, things are going strangely there, aren't they, at the moment? All the clubs there, all the major clubs there, are suddenly have got new owners, haven't they?
Yeah, Chinese as well.
Yes.
Owners. Chinese consortiums of some of various different
Villa, from different Birmingham, industry.
Yeah.
West Brom.
Yeah.
Wolves.
Yeah, obviously they're not Birmingham, but West Midlands. Yeah.
It's a short walk, isn't it?
It is a short walk, yeah.
So,
but yeah, West Brom and Wolves particularly, because Wolves getting rid of Kenny Jackett and putting Walter Zenger in.
Well, this odd is it, decision. Yeah. And of course, recently we had Gary Rowett.
Gary Rowett, I know.
Yeah.
Who was doing brilliantly.
Who was doing fine. Yeah. I mean, he had made Birmingham City interesting.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do. And got them going and winning games. And then they sack him. So it's kind of funny if you don't like Birmingham
There is these Chinese consortiums are taking over West Midland clubs.
Yeah.
And they're putting in rubbish Italian managers.
Yeah, well, they're putting in Italian managers, or Italian-ish. As they
mean.
I mean, Villa, I mean, they didn't replace someone with Roberto Di Matteo, and he's actually Swiss, but he's kind of Italian because, you know, he's always basically spent most of his life in Italy. And
he played for Italy.
And he played for Italy. He's Italian international.
Yeah.
And then, then you've got Zenger, and then you've got Zola.
Yeah.
Very peculiar. I mean, Tony Pulis must be sitting there thinking, well, you know, how long?
How long before I get a payout? Because I really need cash.
Yeah, because I've been delivered of a very expensive bill.
Yeah. So interesting times ahead. Maybe this is the Renaissance. This is all. Maybe there's big trouble in Little China coming up.
Very good. Very good.
I am in awe of that.
That was amazing.
That was brilliant.
It is Saturday 3.
We like to come back to Saturday 3, don't we?
But it's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah, and I'm sure we will come back to this in the... We have spoken about it a couple of times this year, well, we come back to it all the time, don't we? Because we think it's a bit outmoded.
We think it's on its last legs.
Yeah.
Definitely. Whether it's outmoded or not, I don't know.
It's very popular, though. It's very, very, very popular.
It is popular.
amongst fans and
fan
groups.
But then so is streaming. That's also popular. That's another really, really popular.
And I'm sure or any of our listeners who have to get their hair cut will know all about streaming from the people who cut their hair. They seem to be all over it, don't they?
They are all over it.
they are the experts.
They are. You know, there are some barbers that can tell you how to get it sorted out on your phone and your Amazon Fire Stick and everything. You know,
Cody is the new "Where are you going on your holidays?"
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
in barber speak.
Yeah.
Would you like something for the weekend? Here's a Fire Stick.
With Cody and Premier League add-ons supply.
Door 17, Terry.
It's Wayne Rooney.
He's always going to be in the papers, isn't he?
Mm. He is.
Until he's not in the country anymore.
Mm. Mm.
Is this his last season, do you think?
What, playing?
Yeah.
Is he playing or at all? Do you think he might retire altogether?
I don't know.
I think he'll carry on. I think he'll go on and on and on.
He will.
Where he is going on and on and on, I don't know. He could benefit from a challenge elsewhere. Mm. Possibly America. Maybe China. Well, there's talk that Oscar is going to go to China.
Yes, I heard
and
that.
And to be honest with you, if it's at that point where Oscar is going to China, then maybe Wayne Rooney won't get a look in, if that's the bar. Mm. That's an extraordinary move, that is.
Yes.
Yeah. Paying big money.
It's the Europa League, which is somewhere where Wayne Rooney might have a swan song in.
Yeah, that's true.
End of this season anyway. Because Man United are going well in it. Mm-hmm. Spurs are in there as well.
Yep.
Is it time we took it seriously? Does anyone take it seriously other than Spain?
Germany take it seriously, which is ironic since they never win it. But they do take it seriously.
Yeah, they don't because they haven't won it since Schalke won it. And Schalke never win anything, do they?
No, indeed.
Ironically, Schalke did win it back in 97. Times are very different then.
Yeah.
I was in my 20s then.
Yeah.
So, wow. Yeah, I know exactly.
Dortmund really wanted to win it. And could have beaten Sevilla in the final last year.
Yeah.
Were it not for that hokey semi-final against Liverpool. Mm. So I think a lot of the European clubs do take it very seriously. These English clubs that find it... I think even the English clubs take it seriously, but I just think that it's a problem with their schedules. Because they have more games to play than most other senior clubs in Europe. So.
Yeah. Oh, we have had quite a few finalists over the last few years.
Yeah.
But I think it's only Chelsea that's really won it in the last 10-15 years, isn't it?
But we had a finalist last year.
Mm. If you look through the stats, no Italian finalist since 1999, no French finalist since 2004, and we've already said about Germany. Mm. So it is an odd competition, but maybe keeping things interesting, I suppose.
Good for the coefficient.
Yes.
Very good for the coefficient.
We're always all about the coefficient.
We are. We're all about the coefficient here on Sound of Football.
Jan, you can open up the next door. Open up door 19.
It's Jose Mourinho.
Hmm. Now, the Europa League is perhaps very important for him because this could be his best chance of getting a Champions League spot.
It could be. There's a weight of expectation on him there. Every other week when he steps out and looks at Sir Alex Ferguson stand opposite him. He's going to have to do something this season, and I would imagine that the minimum they would expect from him is to qualify for the Champions League. If he gets the Europa League, I suppose that'll be a bonus. But I think there's some kind of financial penalty, isn't there?
Well, there is from the Adidas. Sponsors, Adidas can claw back £22.5 million. From Man United if they don't get Champions League this season.
Sterling?
I think it was in Sterling, yes.
Well, that's still a lot of money.
Not as much as it was. Well, yeah, obviously...
Should have done that deal in Euros thinking back, eh?
Well, you do wonder. I mean, unfortunately, because the British papers are only reporting pounds, they don't actually say, even though all the transfers are done in Euros.
Are done in Euro, yeah.
Yeah, so we never know. Maybe it was done in Euros. They really want it to be done in Euros.
Yes.
Because, obviously... It's
the only money in Europe that's worth, do you think?
Yes.
It's Rupert. It's Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, see, I thought he'd be retired by now.
Look who's back.
Rupert never stops. Exactly. Not when Jerry Hall's your wife.
No, I suppose not.
Yeah. It gives you, gives a man a new lease of life. I imagine.
Do you imagine?
Not really, no.
Oh, I wouldn't want to imagine.
No. I'd choose to imagine something else.
Yeah, now all of a sudden I am imagining it. Yeah, no. And I don't know what. Stop
The interestingly, the price of the pound and the acquisition of Sky, I wonder if Sky, that acquisition does go through, and Fox buy Sky, I wonder whether or not the Champions League right will be purchased, will be bid in US dollars or British pounds.
Yes.
Mm. Or euros.
Yeah.
That's assuming it goes through, of course.
Yeah.
Well, he's flush with cash, isn't he, Rupert, since he's probably made a killing on Brexit.
Yes.
So I imagine that he was, you know, shed his pounds just before the vote, so.
Mm.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to have done quite well out of it. Who knows about these things? Mm. Interestingly,
he's buying it for a knockdown price, really.
Yeah.
Because Sky have been nosediving all year.
Yeah.
In their share price.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they kind of run the outfit anyway.
Yeah.
But the point is that there's an additional sort of like it's a precedent. It's the idea of the big American broadcaster buying it. A big broadcaster like this, and so although in many ways on a day-to-day basis very little will change at Sky, there may be longer-term implications that are at the moment slightly harder to foresee, particularly if you happen to be a regulator or a government minister, in which case I would imagine that they're impossible to see.
I'm going to open up a new door.
Go and do it.
Journalism. Oh, now there's been a lot of
navel-gazing. A lot of journalism going on.
There's
isn't
a lot
there?
Of journalism.
It's been
a busy time for journalists, and which is quite good because they're always saying how busy they are. But obviously, like, they've had something actual to write about. Well, not really.
They, a bit all meta, they, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all a bit meta. Mm. Did you watch Sunday Supplement?
I didn't. I reasoned that it would be painful, and elected not to.
You were right to reason that.
I chose wisely.
You chose very, very wisely. I watched it. I was watching it this morning. Actually, I was watching it on catch up. So
you chose really unwisely.
I chose really unwisely, and I was doing other things at the time.
Naturally,
but like seething.
Hurling rotten fruit at the television.
What was so bad about it?
Oh God, it was Henry Winter and Martin Samuel and Ollie Holt were on there. So yeah, so it was
Rogue's
real
gallery.
Oh God, can you imagine the fug in that room? and there was Gene Ev there, and Neil Ashton looked like he'd lost all hope in everything. And the thing is, it was terrible because it was like, I just can't describe how.
Yeah. Windbaggish.
Yeah. Windbaggish. Yeah.
There is a lot of windbaggery on that show.
There was so much of sort of, like, of them saying about how much integrity they have. They're bloody football journalists.
Mm.
They make up stuff. Why didn't they just say, oh no, but this guy like broke a story about all the historic sexual allegations. Yes, that one guy did.
Mm.
What about all the rest of you? Mm. All the rest of you. And like Martin Samuel, like, you know, you can't really say that, oh yeah, I do loads of like in-depth things. No, you don't. You write for the bloody Daily Mail.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes, sorry.
I have nothing to add.
No, sorry.
But I would only undermine what you've said.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Yeah, next year it's going to be all the same. Yeah, it's going to be all the same.
Big hello to all our journalist friends out there.
Yeah.
It's Article 50.
Oh, great. This one's just getting worse.
Yeah,
this is just getting worse and worse and worse.
It's supposed to get more exciting as you get towards 24.
Yeah, this is 22. I'm like, you know, usually we can't wait to open the next doors, can we?
Yeah.
And now on this one, it's just... Is this 2016?
I might just leave it there.
2016.
But that's not the attitude, Sibley.
I know.
You know, just put just stow your moaning attitude, you know. Accept the decision. What does it mean? What does it mean for football?
Let's face it, if the pound takes another dip...
Which it will.
Yeah.
It means more expensive players.
Yeah.
And also harder to get players from the continent, because from the mainland, because presumably any immigration deals will go back to whatever the hell they are.
So. Yeah, so you're going to see lots of players who are going to think, well, where the hell am I going to earn a load of money from now?
Yeah.
Where who's going to pay me vastly overinflated money to for me to sit on the bench?
In 2018, will we be asking, assuming that we're still alive, will we be asking, speculating as to which the first Premier League club to relocate its offices to Europe?
Wow.
Not its stadium.
But its offices.
But to become essentially a shall we say, for example, a Swiss company. But anywhere within, maybe not Swiss, but also or anywhere within the European Union. Because the value of the pound, if it's going to stay, going to remain low forever, you know, the Premier League is going to go right down the swanny. Because it needs those pounds to spend money with. We all need those pounds to spend money
with. Hey, but it does mean that the competitions like the Europa League and the Champions League become far more enticing because they'll be paid out in euros, won't they?
Yeah. I mean, it's great news, everyone. The new Premier League deal is worth £500 billion. The problem is that it's about 20 euros. The FA. The English FA, or the FA, as they like to call themselves.
Yes.
Because they're the original FA.
Yeah.
Therefore.
Now, we just spoke about them, haven't we?
We did. And we spoke had a very serious conversation about
them.
Yes,
we did.
And such is the way with news and things move so quickly nowadays, obviously, a lot of that is sort of like fading away in the memory.
Yeah.
And do you think it will be allowed to fade away? Do you think they'll just...
Yeah, I doubt it.
Hopefully it will all go away.
I don't know. Well, it has in the past for them. And they've survived by doing that, by just hiding away. I would like to see the FA become more representative of the English people.
Yeah.
So if that happens, that would be a good thing. But I think, to be honest with you, it will just fade away and they'll just carry on like they were before.
Well, it's been a journey, isn't it?
It certainly has been that.
We've opened 23 doors.
We have.
And a lot of things have been said. But we're coming up to the last door now.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going to be behind it. Now, it's a double door, so you two guys, you can open, you can have one door each.
Okay.
Oh, big door.
It's a very big door.
It's a very big door. It's for a very big country.
Huge country.
It's China.
It is.
China.
It's China.
Oh.
Massive country. Massive potential.
Massive money.
Massive money.
Massive population.
Yeah.
Which I think is possibly part of their problem.
Yeah.
So difficult to organise so many people into some kind of coherent strategy for winning football matches, which I assume is to a large degree what most of this is all about. It's all about acquiring football knowledge and then using it to win the World Cup.
To host the World Cup. And then to win it.
And then to win it.
Now, they're not going to 2018.
No.
They got beaten by Syria.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a measure of how much work they've got to do.
Yeah, that is a lot of work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but they have got lots and lots of... The president of China wants China to have a successful football team.
Yeah.
And if he wants it, then there's lots and lots of very, very rich business people within China who think... Well, I think I'm gonna try and get that for it.
There's some juicy government contracts in the offing if I can please the president.
Yeah,
yeah. Chairman Mao wanted China to be the best at table tennis, and they were.
Yeah,
it's not out of the question that this could happen, but of course, football is played with 22 people and not with two people. So,
Well, we've already seen in this conversation already about how they're investing in clubs over here.
Yeah.
Yep.
But they're also investing in players and taking them over there. You've already said Oscar's going over there. He's 25 years old.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. There's a lot of speculation in the press. Disbelief in the press by the good people of the media to say, why on earth would he be going out to China?
Well, let's think about
for
that.
For all that money.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Why isn't he happy just to sit on the bench and because he hasn't started since the middle of September?
Yeah, yeah. With his increasingly devaluing wage packet.
Yes. Yeah. Why would he want to leave?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a no-brainer, really, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a complete no-brainer. If we were asked to do a podcast on Chinese football, and they were offered us millions of pounds to do it,
or even just a million,
yes, just a million, if you're listening,
for a I believe we might say yes. Yeah.
I believe we might say yes.
I'd say yes.
Jan would say yes. He's on record as saying yes.
I'm going. Yeah.
The official podcast of the People's Republic of China.
Yeah, it's got a nice ring to it.
It has, doesn't it?
Yeah,
really?
It has. Yeah. Don't you agree, people of China?
Yes.
Write to your MP now.
I don't know.
They're talking to their officials.
Well, it's okay. Don't worry. Okay, we'll get other people to do that for us. We'll just tell them what to say.
Yeah. Okay, right.
Yeah. I'm sure that's how it works.
We can't put it out on Twitter, though.
Well, that's it. That's our advent calendar all open. That's all the chocolate taken out of it and scoffed. That only leaves me to say to you listeners a big thank you for listening to us this year. It's been really fun doing these. And, of course, obviously we're going to be carrying on in the new year. And hopefully we'll get them around to this time next year and we'll do another one of these advent calendars.
Yes.
And it'll be a hell of a lot more positive, won't it?
Yeah, well, let's hope so.
Yes, of course it will be.
Yeah.
Don't forget, of course, that it's Christmas, and so that means that our very special gift to you, or gift to us, really,
is
Chris Oakley's Best Of show. And obviously, Chris Oakley was the original host of the podcast. Could be said that without him, we probably wouldn't be here right now.
It's fair.
And of course, he puts in so much work putting this Best Of show together. It is going to be the last one he does, so we're really hoping that he goes out with a bang. And it'll be one of my Christmas presents, as always is. Anyway.
It is a fantastic treat to always listen to Chris's retrospectives. He does them with such a panache, and I'm sure this will be no different. And it's great that he's done them for so many years, and we are grateful.
Yes.
They're always excellent.
But I suppose for now, all it really leaves us to say is have a great Christmas, enjoy your new year, and we'll see you there.
We will.
How do we feel about 2017?
Worried.
It's going to be good. Come on. Positivity, Jan. Come on, positivity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing a lot of it.
No. Well, neither am I. But hey, it can't get any worse, can it?
A flame in your heart.